Mountain, Island, Lightning Bolt, Snowpiercer, Switchblade, Stab Wound, Red Mage, Blue Mage.
Hey, I'm Kenny and I play blue cards.
I'm Amber and I play red cards.
Bring the energy, Amber. This is Red Mage, Blue Mage.
I think
brother.
We've got like the energy level switched of the two types that we play. Maybe that's what's we're onto something. Maybe it's like I'm low energy. Wait, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm high energy.
So I'm low energy, and so that I want to be high energy, and that's why I play red cards.
And I'm high energy, and I'm trying to like tamp down my inner instincts with blue.
Yeah, because when I think of Kenny, I think of like party animal, like Rakdos, right?
Yeah, basically. I am the showstopper. I'm Rakdos, the showstopper.
Exactly.
And you're like, what's like a creature that's like a snail or like a grub, like some kind of like dirty insect?
Why are you so mean to me?
I'm not. I'm just trying to be real. We were talking earlier about like real world animals that are the different colors. I feel like for red, some sort of like centipede or like a dung beetle. Those are like really red cards in my mind.
I think of
and then
like,
blue is like a beautiful eagle.
No,
or
I think
like
of like, I think what I think of
or a unicorn.
When I think of blue, unicorn's not a real animal, first of all.
Excuse you.
Second, I think of like sloths and like hagfish. Yeah, for blue. I'm like a hagfish.
What's a really dumb animal?
Platypus. Like, that's like you.
That's red, yeah.
No. Platypus. It's like a water creature.
Like a rock.
And it doesn't make sense. Okay. Rocks aren't animals.
What are some animals that don't have brains? Because I feel like red.
You know, I've noticed like this thing though, like animals that don't have brains, like jellyfish.
Yeah.
They live in water. And like water is like a blue thing. So anyway, this is Red Mage, Blue Mage.
This is Red Mage, Blue Mage, everybody. We're here to discuss Magic the Gathering. And Amber, today's episode, we're doing something pretty fun. We're talking about the current storyline in Magic the Gathering.
There's a story?
There is a storyline. Yeah, there is a story. These cards connect. There's a storyline that's been going for... I mean, hell, this storyline's been going since almost the beginning of Magic. Some of the characters in this storyline.
The Planeswalkers?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know anything about Magic.
Well, you're about to. You're about to learn. Because we're about to go to Flavortown.
Oh yeah. Welcome to Flavortown. Home of the creamiest flavors this side of Berlin. Archons run. It is the Lurgoyf. It is the Lurgoyf.
Like
theme song.
Bring it. Hearing it in my head.
Oh, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Welcome to Flavortown.
We're going to Flavortown. We're going to learn about Magic the Gathering's story, and we're going to help you, the listener, understand the ongoing story, because it's quite convoluted. It's been going on for quite some time. If you're somebody like Amber who doesn't read, then you need help understanding what these cards are doing. And like what story is pitting them all together. We're here to help you and Amber and anyone else who is illiterate and doesn't understand words.
You know, honestly, I was trying to like come up with a comeback and be shitty, but you know, you pinned pretty accurately, so it's okay. I'm gonna let this one slide.
You really nailed me down on that one.
Yep.
I can't read. All right.
I haven't read.
Are you happy now? I don't have my letters.
Wow. Okay. Wow. It's insensitive. You're really...
Did you know?
What?
I learned this word recently. Enumerate, which is basically illiterate, but for numbers.
That's definitely
kind of
me.
Imagine you're that way, too.
I don't understand characters or numerals.
Basically, symbols elude me entirely.
Unless it's like the shape of a cheeseburger. I get that.
Okay, well, we're going to help you. And I think the best place to start is with what you understand so far. And even if it's not entirely true, I just want to hear, like, what do you understand of the story right now?
Okay.
Just as, like, a person coming back into the game.
Sure. So, we talked about in earlier episodes, I first got into Magic when Morrowind was happening. And Planeswalkers were just becoming a thing. fuck don't know what the deal was with Planeswalkers. It's like, oh, they got these new cards where these people who are legendary are going around different planes, and there's loyalty and shit. Like, okay, great, whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, not knowing the actual story, which hilariously I did for the pre-release of Morningtide, get a Magic the Gathering novel. And
what do you remember anything of that? Because they don't do books anymore. They used to do books.
I can tell you that I probably got 10 or 15 pages in, and then I just like put it down.
So not far.
So I didn't get, again,
pretty standard.
It's pretty much like about 10th page of words. It's just, it's too much. Whatever, move on. Okay, so there's that. I kind of knew
Planeswalkers are a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I understand the concept of like a game having like an actual like lore and stuff, because I was also a big World of Warcraft player back in the day, and I also read the Warcraft books. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, I get it, but I just,
so you're familiar, there's lore that's not entirely part of the game, it exists yes, outside the game.
Yes, sort of like a fan fiction, if you will, but
basically,
but canon. So yeah, Planeswalkers, and then so I jump back to now where I'm starting get into Magic again, and it's all about the return to Ravnica. Which I was like, yes. Return? I never been. So
like, okay. You can't return if you've never been, son.
So I don't even like understand like what's going on. I know that like Ravnica's this huge like megalopolis, like the whole world is a giant city, essentially. Yep. And so you got these 10 guilds. They're like, yep, and each guild is like two colors, and yep, you got like, and like basically the factions of the city are these guilds. So like Selesnya guild is, no, the Golgari, she's in there. Selesnya's in, I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. Selesnya's in there.
All right, so whatever. I just know these names. And so the Golgaris are like the trash people, and like, yeah, they take care of dead people, bodies. No, the Rakdos people are more like my people, where it's like, yeah, party down and mutilate each other.
you need a combination of those two, trash people that want to party.
But also, hilariously, I also love the Boris Guild, because vigilance and haste.
Legitimately, as far as like cards go, you are Boris.
Definitely.
That is you.
Like, it's like
Red white.
We never Lawn tap. Order. It's like hasting immediately. Mentor is really cool.
Yes.
And so I'm into that. And there's a bunch of other we don't care about. So
this is actually a good question. Tangent, yes, sidebar.
Yes.
What guild would you say I am?
Probably Dimir.
Yep, correct.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's all about secrets, right? It's like the secret, yep, society, yep, and knowledge and being shitty and like,
it is about being shitty. It's about being secretive. And as a dungeon master and Magic player, these are things I like and, yes, I can get behind.
And I'm like, I can't. Like, I try to play a Dimir guild deck.
You don't like surveilling?
And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't give a shit what's in my deck right now. Like, just no, I don't care about scrying or whatever. But anyway,
surveilling
is different than these mechanics. I feel like the old man of Magic.
Back in my day, we scryed and we were happy about it.
Exactly. So anyway, we're on this plane now.
Wait, yes, another tangent.
Oh, God.
I mentioned Law and Order because we both love Law and Order.
Yes.
I think that's part of the reason,
like, the
why
TV
you
show,
love
or
Boros.
Like, in general.
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Yes.
But you like, so in the original Ravnica set, one of the important characters, like the central character, his name is, I can never remember if it's Argus Kos or Agris Kos, but it doesn't matter. He was a Boros legend.
Uh-huh.
And he was basically like a beat cop.
Right.
He was a legendary creature, but he was just a beat cop.
Nice.
And the whole story revolved around him trying to unravel the mystery of what was going on.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a very Amber character.
Yes.
This beat cop, he's been on the job. He's too old for this shit. And he's trying to unravel what's happening on
No
the
Country
plane.
For Old Men.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, he's having dreams about his dad and about not measuring up to him. And these days just aren't the same.
Yep.
Beyond all measure.
We got these planeswalkers just walk all over this Ravnica. I don't understand.
Beyond
phasing
the pale.
In and out of reality.
Okay. So, sorry,
okay,
tangent.
Okay, so we're on Ravnica. Yes. And there's all these guilds and shit. And like, I've been, to get back into Magic, I've been watching some videos on YouTube. As far as I can tell, there's like this whole like dragon man who's all like, I'm going to control the whatever the hell that I'm trying to control because there's some secret we don't know about or something. And he's all like getting this artifact here, getting this artifact there. And he's bringing them all together on Ravnica. Maybe he's there. We don't fucking know. And there's like some planeswalkers that are involved. I know Jace is supposed to be like a living tax form or something. Or contract or I don't know. Whatever. And it's like, there's secret sleeper agents in Vraska. Is she the one that's got the who's like best friends with Jace? Who's best friends with Jace? They made out on a ship one time. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So I know you're enjoying this
very much.
So
Dragon Man.
There's Dragon Man, and he's like gonna like stop planeswalking from happening. Also, I think how planeswalkers come into existence is really fucking shitty. Like,
okay. This is a good place for us to come in here.
Okay.
Because a big part of the storyline is planeswalking and the nature of planeswalking.
Right.
So let's step it back for a second.
Okay.
We're talking about planes. And we're not talking about airplanes.
Yes, I fucking understand
we're talking
what a goddamn
about
plane.
The multiverse, son.
I would just say baby, but anyway, choice of words.
So we're talking about, you know, multi levels of reality. Planeswalkers can go between worlds that are stacked up on top of each other, right?
Okay. That's so how it is? It's like a pancake stack?
It's not really made explicitly clear. I think some people view planes as just planets, basically.
Okay.
Planeswalkers are just warping from planet to planet. I personally like the idea that these are different levels of reality. And planeswalkers are just phasing in between those levels.
I like to think of it kind of like in Subtle Knife, Philip Pullman's series, where you can just like...
His Dark Materials.
Yes. And so when instead of like using a subtle knife, they are the knife that just passes through each.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I like the idea too of... you haven't read these, but the Bartimaeus trilogy.
You've talked about it, yes.
I have talked about it. You don't need to know much about it, except that different levels of demons can see different levels of reality. And there are different artifacts like lenses that you can flip on and off. And you can, if you flip, look at the world through different lenses, you see different things.
Right.
That's how I kind of view the planes of Magic the Gathering, is that all these worlds exist on top of each other and within each other. It's just where you happen to exist within this. Planeswalkers can move in between these levels. They can phase in and out, as you say. Planeswalking is very important here. So, like, yes, I'm trying to think of where we should pick up from. I think we should start talking about this through your questions. What are you curious about with the story right now?
One, before I was really interrupted, I was talking about...
Excuse me.
How a planeswalker comes to be. And so
you're upset with that.
It's like you have to go through some sort of like traumatic event. And I'm like, that's really fucking shitty. Like, why can't I just like have extreme pleasure? Like, why not in the middle of fucking and orgasming?
Right.
Can I not just shift
it to another,
I can shift it to another plane. Why does it have to be something tragic? Why does every planeswalker have a tragic fucking backstory? It's very irritating to me from a story standpoint.
I understand, but look at your, like, we both come from tabletop role playing backgrounds. How many characters have you, like, in ongoing campaigns, have you played with or as where you had, like, a nice, pleasant background?
It doesn't help that every system I've played in has had some sort of shitty...
It's had Josh.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh, for making every single adventure I've played in have,
a
traumatic event. I can tell you in the game...
Like, I don't get enough of that in my own life.
Exactly, having Josh as a GM. But no, so...
It's a trauma in and of itself.
I can tell you, though, for a fact, that my group of people at my table, there's a few of them, they all have pretty decent backgrounds. Like, a little happy link. We're just going on a little adventure. There's nothing really tragic. Like, Bobby...
You're playing Ryutama. That doesn't even count.
See, but yes, it does. It completely changes the tone of... The system changes the tone, I think, of your character.
Also, object, I'm pointing to Arthur, Tragic backstory.
He just got scared when he was little.
His entire adventuring party fucking died! What are you talking about? Okay, spoilers for Ryutama.
Spoilers for my podcast. But no.
At Shapeshift on Twitter.com.
Thanks for the promo.
Is it Shapeshift Podcast?
Doesn't fucking matter. No one's going to listen.
You can find it.
You can fucking find it. Just throw some words out there on the internet. It'll come out. Fine. You'll get where you need to go.
Whatever. They all have tragic backstories. Pugman is going to die.
Colleen's town turned against her.
Babu is a pedophile, as far as we know.
Fuck off. Okay, you need to cut all this out. cut all of this out.
It's staying. No, it's staying. Anyway, my point. My point is that tragic backstories make for good storytelling. Cheap storytelling. I have long held in role-playing games that stupid, like, hackneyed, like, they would be so... We would laugh at them if they appeared in Hollywood. We'd be like, this is a movie-ass movie. But they make for good D&D plots, and they make for good Magic the Gathering plots.
It gets tired, though.
I'm not going to...
Like, why can't a planeswalker... If you want to add tragedy, why don't they have something good happen to them? They planeswalk, and I'm like, oh my god, I have a special ability, but I did it, and I accidentally brought along my family with me, and then they died, and they shredded to pieces as they went through the whatever.
It would just be cool. Like, I mean, so there's like Karn, who is an artifact planeswalker. He was built. He's a construct and became a planeswalker. He's the same as the rest that you're talking about. Trauma caused him to planeswalk. We should take a step back for our listeners. If you don't know, like 1 in 1 million sentient beings has what's called a spark, which is the potential to planeswalk. And 1 in 1 million of those will have something happen to them that will ignite that spark and cause them to planeswalk. And yes, it is almost always something horribly traumatic and impactful in their life. And Karn, even though he is a construct, he was built by someone else, he has the same kind of story. A trauma caused him to planeswalk. He could have, like, that was such a good opportunity for them to say, here's a different way for a planeswalker to come into being. This is a manufactured planeswalker. He could have been built to do this, but instead it was the same thing as everybody else. Okay, so that's your gripe with planeswalking, is that it's never happy. It's never... Somebody has a good story.
Like, just eat a really good peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
it's like if, you know, people's first sex stories, what if every, like, well, this is kind of true. What if everybody's first sex story is sad? Do you think planeswalkers get together and they have their conversations?
Oh my god, can there be a planeswalker tavern?
How did you ignite your spark?
Oh my god. Oh, let's make a role-playing game. let's make characters right now. Can I make a planeswalker?
Let's do it. Yes, right. Please. What's your planeswalker?
Oh, god damn it. I hate... Names is the worst part for me.
I've got mine already. Tavik Maul.
Mine has to be something stupid, and I'm a man. This is where I there's going to be umming for 20 minutes as I try to figure out a name for my... Like,
I need to get very familiar
with the Firestorm Thunderbrush or something stupid.
The most red name you could come up with.
My name's Tarfire. My name's Tarfire.
Reverend Tarfire, Reverend Fryer.
Hot as hell, McGack. I don't know. I'm trying to think of names. Hold on. I got to get a good cut for you for the podcast.
Tavik Maul.
Fuck off. We don't care about Tavik Maul. I'm all about Tarfire. Tarfire. What's his last name?
Jensen.
No, it's got to be like fire stuff too. Tarfire, Firestorm.
Emberheart.
No, I like Tarfire, Firestorm.
Tarfire, Firestorm.
It's fire, fire in the middle.
He's got two fires in his fucking
middle name's
name.
Fire.
Tarfire, F, Firestorm.
So my planeswalker, his name is Tarfire, Firestorm.
Tarfire, F, Firestorm. The F stands for fire.
The F stands for Franklin.
All right, so what ignited your spark? Was it fire? I'm just going to go out on a limb.
No.
I think it was something flame related.
No, it was just he won at the 4-H.
The 4-H exists on your world?
Yes.
What do the H's stand for?
What do the H's stand for in reality?
Hearts, hands.
Oh, okay.
Helping and hemorrhoids. I don't remember what the last one stands for.
Hot.
Hellfire.
Just all hell. Hellfire. God, Kenny, this is I'm so bad at being put on the spot. Hellfire.
Podcasting is the career for you.
Yeah, because you could edit the shit out of this. Hellfire. Hellstorm.
Hellbent.
And hell.
Fucking hell.
It's four H's.
Okay, so you're part of 4-H.
Yes, and I just screwed the biggest turn up. That's it. And I was so happy. The end.
Wow.
It ignited my spark.
Insane. So, Tavik Mal.
No, oh my God. I don't want to hear about it. It's going to sound so much better than Tarfar Firestorm.
So, we're moving away from the traumatic igniting of the spark.
Right.
It's something else that happened. I was in a spelling bee, and I got third place, and I felt so embarrassed and so ashamed. And afterwards, my parents said, Tavik Mal, we're so proud of you, and you know, no matter what you do, you'll always be accepted and loved here, and we will be here for you, and everything you're doing right now in the academy, you've achieved so much, and you shouldn't put this much pressure on yourself. And I was so overwhelmed with their love and affection that I planeswalked.
Away from your parents who love you.
And I never saw them again.
And I couldn't get back.
Ironically.
Honestly,
they said they'd always be there for me, and then I planeswalked away forever. I see what I mean? Like, the gravity of the dramatic trauma that is done to a planeswalker, you can't get away from it.
No, I
all your shit is hellfire.
Yeah, I grew a turnip and it made me happy, and I planeswalked with my turnip and we're go on adventures.
Do you want your turnip's
name? Do you want to know my turnip's name?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
You brought it up.
I do this to myself all the time, where I suggest something and I'm not prepared for it.
What's its name?
Little Sparky. I think you're only laughing because of the face I just made.
Anyway, getting back to the Magic the Gathering storyline, Ravnica, Planeswalkers. You have a problem with planeswalkers. They're always their initial planeswalk, the ignition of their spark, is always caused by trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically how it works. Something traumatic happens to you, and you learn that you have the ability to planeswalk. First of all, you learn that there are other worlds.
Yeah.
And you can go to them.
Next question.
Yeah, go for it.
How can you tell which plane you're going to walk to? Is it just like a roll of the dice, or is like an art things that you wear, or like are you just intuitive now and your spark's open? You can like reach deep down inside yourself and see all the planes in existence and be like, oh, that one's shiny and gold. Little Sparky and I are going to have a good time on Gold Planet.
So the first time that you planeswalk, it is random.
Right.
You go to a random world. And in my view, like reading the various stories, it seems like it's almost like you're gravitated towards, you're pulled towards a particular world.
Okay.
That like appeals to who you are at your heart. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, Sarkhan Vol, who is like a draconic planeswalker, he's a human, but he worships dragons. He is pulled towards the plane of Tarkir, which is all about worshiping of dragons. I'm sorry, listeners, if I'm getting this wrong, but I swear if you look at all the different storylines, the first time someone planeswalks, they almost always planeswalk to a plane that really appeals to who they are inside. It's like instinctively they go to this world that's like, this should be my home kind of thing. Mm. So it is kind of random at first. You don't know where you are. And then slowly over time, you learn how to navigate the planes and actually go to where you're trying to go.
Okay.
Okay. Hey. Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Okay.
It's not a good answer, but okay. It'll do.
I feel hatred in my heart.
Why?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Nothing.
What's your next question?
I have no other questions.
About the storyline.
I don't care. I have no other questions.
Amber.
What? What is Nicole Bolas's bullshit deal?
Okay.
Who is the fuck is this motherfucker? He's a dragon who's like, yes. I'm so great and I'm powerful and I'm going to trick people into loving me and worshiping me and making them do my bidding. And why does everybody I make up sound like a farmer?
A southern mayor.
Yeah.
Welcome to Naperville.
I'm Nicole Bolas. Steal me that artifact.
Don't forget to stop in at Nicole Bolas's House of Curiosities.
You better not make any friends that I don't approve of.
So Nicole Bolas, so this, I was saying that planeswalking is at the heart of the story here. Before you were playing the game, before planeswalkers got introduced as cards in the game, planeswalkers have existed in the game from the beginning of the game. The player in a game of Magic the Gathering is a planeswalker.
Yeah.
You are a person who goes from world to world. That's why you can have spells and creatures that come from different worlds. You've been to those different worlds. You're summoning their magics, right?
Okay.
You are a planeswalker.
Sure.
In the olden days, though, planeswalkers were essentially gods. Planeswalkers are immortal. They're omnipotent. And they're infinite. Like, you can retain any amount of knowledge. What are you laughing?
I was gonna say impotent. Sorry. Oh. I'm an 8-year-old boy who knows the word impotent.
Wiener. No, they're omnipotent. That's the opposite. You're all potent.
Oh, okay.
They were gods. Like, they could do insane things, like Karn, which I mentioned already. This artifact, this robot man who became a planeswalker.
Yeah.
He created the Plane of Mirrodin, which I don't know if you knew that.
That's the artifact land, right?
Yeah. He was sort of disillusioned with planeswalkers. He went to his own place in the blind eternities, the infinity of the multiverse, and he created his own world, which he called Mirrodin. That's the olden days. Planeswalkers used to be gods, essentially, and you could only die by fighting with another planeswalker. But Dominaria, are you familiar with Dominaria?
I know the name.
This is like the central plane. It's where the first, I don't know, million sets of Magic the Gathering were centered, was Dominaria.
Homeworld.
The homeworld, yeah. It was the center of the multiverse. Everything that happens in Dominaria ripples out into the rest of the multiverse. And so many crazy apocalyptic things happen on Dominaria that it was like rupturing and being destroyed. And that was having an effect on the rest of the multiverse. And a few planeswalkers came to Dominaria, and through a lot of trials and tribulations in Time Spiral, the block, they mended the rifts. They mended the damage that had been done to Dominaria in a cosmic event called the Mending. And a side effect of them doing this is it changed the way that planeswalkers work. It changed the planeswalker spark so that planeswalkers are no longer omnipotent. They're no longer infinite. And that's why they can be on cards now. But it meant that Nicole Bolas, a planeswalker and potentially the oldest being in the multiverse, is no longer infinite and no longer immortal. And he does not like that.
Oh, so he's going to vampire all the planeswalkers to become immortal again.
He wants to be immortal and he wants to be omniscient. He wants all knowledge and all
power.
Deal
with it. Deal with being mortal, weak ass bitch.
Does it surprise you to know that Nicole Bolas is one of my favorite characters in Magic the Gathering?
I can't act surprised for this podcast because I already knew this.
Yeah. I like Nicole Bolas a lot. I think if I...
Go figure. Because like the last time we're like, let's pick our superpowers. You're like, basically, I'm God. I'm like, that's not fucking fair. I said, pick a superpower. A superpower. Well, can you fly? Can you go invisible? No, I'm what's his face? I can't remember the...
Apocalypse.
Ah, fuck him. That's bullshit.
We were talking about favorite superheroes and supervillains. And I was like, I'm drawn to characters who are all powerful. I like Apocalypse because he can do anything. He has matter manipulation.
It just seems so boring.
It is boring to be the best. I agree. It's boring to play blue. It's
Nobody
boring
will
to
like you.
Play the optimal. It's
you'll have no friends.
It's a price you pay for being the goddamn best.
Wow. Well, have fun being alone and dying alone and crying alone.
But that's what Nicol Bolas wants. Now, you brought up something that was important, which is he's collecting artifacts. What do you know about that?
He's using planeswalkers to get artifacts. The end. But I think there was one. I thought there was one that was all like something that can like stop planeswalking from happening.
Yep.
I know I can't remember who he's. Vraska was one. She's some sort of like. Well. It's so, like you said, it's so convoluted. It's like, I don't know what's going on other than, like, she and Jace were all, like, buddy-buddy when she was on a different plane doing, like, mm-hmm. being a pirate captain, mm-hmm. doing some fun pirate buccaneer shit, and mm-hmm. I guess getting an artifact there. I don't know what she was doing there. And then, like, she and Jace are all like, we're so cool together. We're so wonderful together, I guess. Let's make out or something. I don't know. And then they like had some sort of forget this ever happened, but when we see each other on Ravnica, you'll remember.
I'll
and then
trip your memories.
And then you'll kill Nicol Bolas and stab him in his head or something. I don't know what she's gonna do.
Yeah, so Nicol Bolas' whole thing is scheming, and he's sent planeswalkers to all kinds of worlds and to do stuff for him. He sent Vraska to Ixalan, which is a previous block, to get an artifact called the Immortal Sun. And yes, the power of this artifact is it prevents planeswalkers from planeswalking. So when the power of this artifact is unleashed, people can't leave the plane that you have put it on.
And that's when he becomes vampire.
Excuse.
That's what's going to happen. I know it. He's going to suck their blood.
I mean, so this was before your time playing Magic, or coming back to Magic, I should say. But Alara was Nicol Bolas' first attempt to regain his power. And basically, he was trying to vampire. He was trying to eat a world, all of the magic of a world, to get his powers back.
I mean, isn't that like literally like every trope of like anything where it's like, I must consume this in order to gain its power?
That's how the world works, right?
I eat
chicken and broccoli to gain its power.
If I eat enough human livers, yeah. I will become immortal.
What are you referencing right now?
It's just something I'm thinking of.
Just something I've been thinking of lately.
Livers are powerful.
Consuming a world.
Consuming a world.
That was Nicol Bolas' whole plan. This first plan is like, how do I get my powers back? I'm going to wait until this world, basically in Alara, the worlds had splintered apart. They were coming back together. And he's like, I think I can eat all of the magic of this world. And I'll come back.
It's going to happen on Ravnica again. That's exactly what I would do. Just eat everything.
I don't understand what his plan is. Like, it seems clear from the stuff that I've read and the stuff that I've researched. So he's got the Immortal Sun, which makes it so that planeswalkers can't planeswalk away. Mm-hmm. On Kaladesh, he got the planar bridge, which it lets non-planeswalkers move between worlds. And on Amonkhet, the Egypt-themed world, he got an army of undead that are almost indestructible.
Yes.
So it sounds like he's going to send his army to Ravnica and make it so that planeswalkers can't get out. And so he's just going to kill a bunch of planeswalkers.
And then nobody
on
can get in, and he could just live there forever.
And he can just, you think he's just wants to be immortal on Ravnica forever?
By himself.
I don't think so. I think he wants to rule everything. He's so egotistical.
Maybe it's just like a place where he can like make a nest and then he's going to like birth himself out through another thing.
Maybe. There is, I forget which card it is.
Or Planeswalk to where no one's planes walked before into another planeswalker. You could be forever, and you could just be planeswalking through everybody forever.
It's interesting because in Theros and in Amonkhet, both of those planes have the creature type gods, and those in their own world, they're basically all powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like Erebos, the god of the dead, he is the god of death on Theros, and he can't travel between worlds. But on Theros, he has dominion over death. I feel like Nicol Bolas, like I just don't think that's good enough for him. He doesn't want to be a god of a plane.
I guess we'll find out.
He is used to, before the mending, he was just a god that could go anywhere and do anything.
New era. Take, get what you can.
Just make do with what you can have.
Yep, exactly.
So that's Nicol Bolas. And then you got these young whippersnappers. We should sympathize with Nicol Bolas. He understands how magic used to be. And these whippersnappers... with their planes walking and their cart.
Look, me and little Sparky are doing our own little thing, and it's just like this tour of the planes.
Your turn.
And I am just fine doing my own thing. I'm not going to get caught up in these conspiracies or all this bullshit. Just going to go sightsee it and enjoy my time with my best friend.
I was going to say, if I was a planeswalker in the Magic the Gathering universe, I would just be like... trying to mind my own business as hard as possible.
I'm pretty sure the spark in me is pointing me as far away from Ravnica as possible.
Yeah.
To, like, Hawaii plane.
To tropical paradise plane.
Where I'll meet another great vegetation that will become my second friend. Probably banana.
A turnip and a banana? Are you trying to crossbreed?
Banana, turnip.
You're meddling with powers you were never meant to comprehend.
It's just genetically modified veggies.
This is your Magic the Gathering fanfic. It's about turnips and bananas fucking each other.
It's not that. It's more sophisticated than just fucking. It's not like I want to mash a banana.
It's more blue magic than that.
It's not. It's not. I mean, it's just. It's just, I want to create life. Not destroy it.
Yeah, I think I get what you mean.
Do you? I don't know what I mean, so it's fine.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Can you tell me what it is? Because I don't know anymore.
It's definitely about fucking.
No, I don't think so.
It's definitely about turnips. Here's my question to you. Like... the magic story. You like Magic the Gathering. Do you care about the magic story? Does it impact you at all?
I do. I think it makes the game more interesting, especially when you think about like these secret meanings in cards, the art. I remember watching a video recently where it was like, in this set, if you look on this art of the card, in the reflection of this puddle, you can see Jace and Verasca walking together or something like that. And I was like, oh yeah. That's really cool.
Jason Liliana.
Liliana, right. And it's like, what is that about? And so it's like there's all this secret hidden meanings and like what the cards can actually mean within the set. And the cards are actually telling a story. It's just that it's more like the shards of the story. And like you kind of have to put it together to figure out, is there actually like a Magic the Gathering lore where they're releasing story stuff? Or is it more like just people speculating based off the cards?
It's both. So on the Magic the Gathering site, the official site, every week they release a short story that is continuing the story of Magic the Gathering. That used to be in the novels, as you alluded to. Now it's in the short story. But my favorite thing, like I love the Souls games, Dark Souls, Bloodborne. I love emergent storytelling. I like that you can be paying zero attention to the magic story and you can see some of it come through in the cards. And I like the idea of the story being a puzzle.
Yeah.
In the previous Ravnica set, the Guild Gates, if you look at the flavor text, they have letters that are slightly raised in the flavor text. And it makes a word jumble. And that word jumble creates a secret message.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I like that kind of stuff. I like that they are putting these breadcrumbs out there
And I like how you don't have to know the story to actually still enjoy the game either.
Definitely not. You can not care about the story at all, and it's still a completely compelling game and still super fun.
So yeah, I think I like it that it's there, and that if I want to explore it, I can. And if I don't want to, I don't have to.
If you don't want to, you can just cast red spells.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, that's us. We're Red Mage Blue Mage.
Woohoo!
You can email us at redmagebluemage@geekspective.com. You can tweet at us at redbluemtg. You can tweet at me at Wolfmere.
And I guess there's also me, which you can find me on Twitter at Rocket Orca.
And that's the end of turn for us. Until then, I'll be representing Counterspell. Yes.
And I've got the bolt.
See you next time. Bye-bye.